Hey everyone, welcome to crossover event number 4, where we're going to be talking to Lena Quintanilla Perez. I am Kate, host of But Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that matter and ask the question, but why though? And today, my co-hosts are Brittany and Justine from It's About Damn Crime. Hey guys.
Hey!
So why don't you tell everybody what your podcast is about for a little bit?
Would you like me to do that, Brittany?
Yes, go for it,
okay.
Justine.
So we host a true crime podcast where we focus on people of color. That's basically it. We also just talk a lot of shit to each other.
All the time.
And I have to say, I like to consider myself a true crime junkie. And I don't know about 90% of the cases you guys cover. And that is awesome. So I'm like super happy every time I listen to you guys.
Yeah, there's so many of them like we've never heard of. So we just Google and someone pops up and we're like, okay, there's enough information here to do an episode. We're doing it.
Sometimes there's not enough information and we just gotta.
That's when we extra talk crap to each other. Because we gotta fill some time.
So I figured we'd start off with some questions. First one are, what are your feelings about Selena? And what's your favorite memory of Selena? And how did she or did she not impact you?
Want to start, Brittany?
No.
Go ahead.
I never want to start.
I'll allow it.
I love Selena always and forever. I think my memory about her, because I was so young and she died in 95. Yeah. So she died in 95 and I was six. Yeah. I think I was six, whatever. And so I don't remember about her death. The first time I remember hearing about her was like, I watched the movie.
Yeah.
And so I watched the movie. I bawled like a baby. It was so sad. And then my mom told me about her. And so that's how I found out, how I really, really, really got like interested in Selena and her life and what she's accomplished. I saw her and I was like, oh, like she's, you know, Mexican American. I'm Mexican American and she did all this stuff. So why couldn't, like, she was a businesswoman. She had a music career. I mean, who knows what it would have transpired to if she did not die. She would have had so many more hits.
She would have been Beyonce before Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, so it was just very inspirational to me to see her. And, like, her first language was English. My first language was, you know, is English. She learned Spanish. Did I learn Spanish? No.
No.
Did I attempt? I attempted, like, a million times, but never. I mean, I know a little bit. I can understand it, but I can't speak it fluently. So, but, yeah, she just inspired me to just be, like, just not give a shit about what anybody else thinks. Do what you feel is right and just be the best person that you can be. And if you want to do something, you put your mind to it and you fucking do it. Just like we're doing this damn podcast.
Yeah.
I mean,
insert preach gif right here.
Yeah. I mean, me and Justine were talking about doing this true crime podcast for about a year. And then we finally sat down. We're like, we need to fucking do it.
Yeah. We can absolutely do this. Yeah. I think mine, you know, same story. I grew up in a neighborhood with mostly white kids. I've said it 1,000 times. And I honestly didn't even know that I was Mexican for a long, like, I knew I was Mexican. That's not true. I thought everyone that had brown hair was Mexican and everyone that had blonde hair was white. Like, that was my thinking in life. And then I think when I was about 6, like, someone told me, like, that's not how it works. Just figure it out. But it was so cool to see someone that looked like me doing amazing things. And she was not, like Brittany said, she was not a Spanish speaker. I've gotten so much crap my whole entire life for not speaking Spanish. I do not speak a word. So, I mean, she could fake it. I can't fake it a little bit. If you listen to our podcast, you will know that. But yeah, it was just cool to see someone that was, you know, brown. doing amazing things. And I knew too, I didn't know about her until after she was already dead, which is like a shame because I mean, I really feel like she didn't get that huge till.
Yeah. Cause she was only 23.
Yeah.
For me, it's pretty much echoing that same sentiment. Like I'm super brown. You can't really tell because my lighting is like really like in my face right now. So like my mom had that race talk with me really, really early, but I was four when she died. So I wasn't making my own memories. I have memories of, because my cousins were all older than me and we were all in Ballet Folklorico from like the time we were little. And like, we were super Mexican, that much I will say. And so every little girl had Selena things, like even after she died. Like my favorite doll was a Selena doll that they made when the movie came out, and it had her purple jumpsuit, and it was so awesome. And that was my favorite doll. I barely speak Spanish. Like I could probably get by, but because I didn't speak it my entire life and my entire family's first language, at least from the older people, was all Spanish. They call me coconut all the time because I'm also like I'm one of two brown cousins. Like everybody else is like super, super fair skinned. And so they call us coconuts. And I'm like, this really sucks. And then my mom, I remember one of my first memories is going to watch the movie with my mom in the theater because my mom took me to go watch it because she didn't see any other like role models for me. And so she was like, I need to make sure Selena is really prominent in your life. And my cousin, she was really important for my cousin. She was really important for me. And like, I can't explain why I cry when I hear Dreaming of You. I just do. Like I get super emotional because there hasn't been anybody like her since. And like, I know you can't replicate that type of stardom, but like just in ways of like representing for Mexican Americans, like that's not really there. Like there are more Latinos in the spotlight now, but there are hardly any Mexican Americans. And we're always shown with accents and we're always shown as immigrants. And it's like, she was a Tejana. Like to define it for people who don't know, Tejana means that your family goes back to Texas from before it was Texas. When it was Mexico, because guess what? We've been here forever. And for me, that's really, really important. And to see that type of like Chicano identity, like just up front, like I haven't got that since. And it makes me really sad when I think about it, but it also makes me really happy because I got to experience her and I got to feel that like power in my life. However, I still haven't been to the Selena Memorial, and I'm really sad about that because we went to Corpus like every summer.
What?
Yeah. Well, the reason we never went was because my dad is super impatient, and there was always huge lines like to get into the surrounding area, and my dad was just like, I'm not dealing with this, and like we're just drive by.
Oh, man.
I support your dad's decision to drive by. So late in a line.
I would. Dad, pump the brakes, let me out. I'll wait in the line.
I'll call you when I'm done.
Yeah.
Just slow down to about 10 miles an hour. Barrel roll out. It's fine. You don't have to stop. Tejano is also not just how people define themselves. It's also a genre of music. And specifically, it's Texas folk music. And it refers to the music of Mexican Americans in Texas. And I don't really know how to describe it other than a lot of accordions and really, really male dominated.
Yes. That is Tejano music in a nutshell. You nailed it.
And then another term I'll probably use is Chicano or Chicana, which means specifically a Mexican American. And usually this means second or third generation, somebody who wasn't born in Mexico. And Mexico is something in their descendants, but they're first and foremost American is mixed in there. And like for me, like I'm third generation. My family's weird. Like technically half of me has always been in Texas, but the other half of me hasn't.
It's very confusing.
So I'm just like, I'm brown.
I don't know what generation. I think I'm also third generation.
I think I'm fourth.
Yeah, I think I'm fourth, actually.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm third. I don't know. Third. I'm not sure.
That's good.
Not all brown people are Mexican. And I think that's also important to like point out about Selena. I think other Latinos are drawn to her because she is really important. But I think specifically Mexican Americans are drawn to her because she's one of the very few people that actually represents us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a really quick, like, down and dirty Wikipedia facts about Selena really quickly. Because we want to talk about the stuff that we always talk about. We want to talk about the true crime for Brittany and Justine. And I want to talk about the why, but why those. So Selena was born April 16th, 1971. And she was an American singer, songwriter, spokesperson, model, actress, and fashion designer. Called the Queen of Tejano Music, also La Reina. If you ever see any Mexicans post anything about anything and they use the words La Reina, they are talking about Selena. Her full name is Selena Quintanilla Perez, but she's like Madonna. She's Selena. We're not talking about Selena Gomez. I remember that from your Y'all Selena episode that you did. And it broke my heart.
Oh, the poor younger generations.
I also have a theory that if you were born after she already died, you do not understand the importance of Selena. Like,
no.
At all.
No. Mm-mm.
And it makes me really sad. And I want to just like run around with like a Selena Bible and just like knocking on like all their doors. Have you heard the word of our Lord and Savior, Selena Quintanilla Perez?
I mean, I want to do that.
You can start with dreaming of you and work your way backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy now, like when you talk, when you mention about Selena to like the younger kids, the younger generation, they're like, Selena Gomez? No.
I'm never talking about Selena Gomez I'm talking about Selena.
I love Selena Gomez, but if I say Selena, I'm going to say Selena Gomez if I'm referring to Selena Gomez.
There's only one Selena.
Yeah. Exactly.
So when I say Selena, I'm talking about Selena. Hello. Oh, man, I get mad.
It's actually funny because Adrian and his wife are, like, younger than Matt and I. And his wife is actually a lot younger. And she's like, it's 22 years later. Why does everybody care? And I'm like, really? Really? Oh, it breaks my heart. But
breaks my heart, too.
So people listening, please make me a Selena Bible. Cut out pictures, put in little EPs, make me happy. I will spread the word far and wide.
And then make copies and then we'll do the same thing.
Yep. And we can start like a Selena like missionary system where everybody tells like three or four friends about Selena. It's not a cult so long as we don't do anything bad.
Right.
That's true. Yes.
So her contributions to music and fashion made her one of the most celebrated Mexican-American entertainers of the 20th century. Billboard magazine named her the top-selling Latin artist of the 1990s decade, while her posthumous collaboration with MAC Cosmetics became the best-selling celebrity collection in cosmetics history. I am still extremely pissed I did not get that red lipstick.
I didn't get it either, girl. It's fine.
Oh, the lines were insane. I'm sure you can find
it on eBay for like $1 billion.
Oh my, you probably find it on, I mean, on eBay, it's probably not going to be that much. I don't know.
No, my cousin, she works for MAC. So every time like a collection like this comes out, she buys like one whole set and then she'll resell it later.
Really?
For like a huge upsell. Yeah.
That's a smart woman right there.
Yeah. She's also an asshole. Just kidding.
Oh, sorry. Whoa.
You don't have to cut that out, by the way. It's fine.
So media outlets called her the Tejano Madonna for her clothing choices. She also ranks among the most influential Latin artists of all time and is credited for catapulting a music genre into the mainstream market. And this is because mostly if you don't live in Texas, chances are you don't listen to Tejano. And if you do, you probably do not like sing along with it to your friends.
Right.
Selena was one of the first times that Tejano actually reached a point where it was going into all markets and all outlets, and it hasn't really hit that point since then. Because when you think of Latin artists, you think of like Shakira or Marc Anthony, and they don't have a whole bunch of accordions in the background helping them. So Selena was the youngest child of the Quintanilla family. She debuted on the music scene in 1980 as a member of the band Selena y Los Dinos, which also included her elder siblings, Abby Quintanilla, who also, I believe he founded the Cumbia Kings, which if for us, all through like middle school and high school dances, like nothing but a su quinta everywhere. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, stop right now, pause it, go look up Asun Quinta by the Cumbia Kings with K's, not C's, and listen to it, and then come back, and you'll know why I had to say that. And he was a guitarist, and then you had Suzette Quintanilla, who was on the drums. Selena began recording professionally in 1982, and in the 1980s, she was often criticized and was refused bookings at venues across Texas for performing Tejano music. And this wasn't because the venues didn't want brown people in there. It was because they didn't want Tejano music with a female lead. So a little bit about Tejano, a lot of it are like corridos or norteño singers. And those two things, they're often like about love ballads, and it's often to women. And it's a very specialized area within Tejano. And that's what's expected from a lot of big acts that come through. And so there was this idea at the time, and she broke that ceiling and smashed it for people like Jennifer Peña. She broke the ceiling for them to actually be able to perform and headline at the Tejano group, because it was just really unheard of. However, her popularity grew after she won the Tejano Music Award for Female Vocalist of the Year in 1987, and she won 9 times after that consecutively, back to back.
Dang.
She was maybe a little bit good, guys?
Just a little just bit. A I mean, just a tiny bit.
Selena was signed to EMI Latin in 1989 and released her self-titled debut album the same year, while her brother became her principal music producer and songwriter. Selena released Entra en mi Mundo in 1992, which peaked at number 1 on the U.S. Billboard Regional Mexican Albums chart for 8 consecutive months. The album's commercial success led music critics to call it her breakthrough recording of her musical career. One of its singles, Como la Flor, which is like iconic Selena right there, and it's probably one of the ones that if you don't know who Selena is, you probably at least know what Como la Flor is. Became one of her most popular signature songs. Live! Exclamation point. Was released. It sounded important.
I don't love that title.
No. Just think jazz hands. Live! Was released in 1993, and it won Best Mexican American Album at the 1994 Grammy Awards, becoming the first recording by a female Tejano artist to do so. In 1994, Selena released Amor Prohibido, which is my favorite song, by the way, like out of all. I think that should have been one of the questions. What's you guys' favorite songs?
Oh, man.
Dreaming of You always, just because I don't understand what she's saying in any of the other songs.
I don't know. One song that comes to mind that I do love is Tu Solo Tu.
Oh, yes.
Fuck, I love that song so much. With the trumpets and everything, it just, even though I just know what Tu Solo Tu means and I don't know what anything else means, I still love it.
Amor Prohibido is probably one of my favorites. And Tecno Cumbia, because that song is just like, you're going to get up off your ass and dance to that.
Dude, she speaks so fast in that song.
Yes!
It makes no sense. I'm like, what are you... It's like she's rapping in Spanish. Like,
and part of the thing that makes it even better is I feel like when she was doing that, she was also thinking, what was I saying? While she was like, yeah. Super fast. Yeah.
She was like out of breath and be like, oh my God, I don't know what I just said.
I hope I wasn't cussing somebody out. Please don't let this be a diss track. Oh, So in 1994, Selena released Amor Prohibido, which became one of the best-selling Latin albums in the United States. It was critically acclaimed as being responsible for Tejano music's first marketable era, as it became one of the most popular Latin American subgenres of all time. Amor Prohibido has been ranked among the most essential Latin recordings of the past 50 years by Billboard magazine, while the publication nominated it for its list of top 100 albums of all time. It ranked number 19 on NPR's list of the 150 greatest albums by women. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, like that's insane. And it kind of makes me mad because every time I talked about doing a Selena episode, sorry to put you on blast, Adrian and Matt, but all you said was, why do people care about her? Do people really want to listen to an episode about Selena? I'm like, yes, they do. Because she did incredible things.
Yeah.
In a very short amount of time.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, she's like, I think if you're listening and you haven't heard about Selena, or you have that question in mind, and it doesn't make you a bad person, it just makes me kind of think, question your taste in things if you don't think people should like it. But. Just from what I have said alone, that type of impact is rare when it comes to musical artists. There are very few who can do that. There are very few who can sell records after they've died and still make those things go gold. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, continue to break charts and continue to have people so invested and in love with them. And y'all need to shut up, sit down, and hear the gospel of Selena, because she's important.
Dang, tell him.
Selena Bible is on its way to you.
Yes.
Right now as we speak.
So I had to put in that Selena and her guitarist, Chris Perez, eloped in 1992 after her father raised concerns over their relationship. And I had to put that in because that, for me, in the movie was like the best love story of all time. After he trashes the hotel room and they're talking in the stairwell and they're like, oh crap, no, we love each other. And yeah, I love their love story so much.
What's that actor's name?
Ooh, I don't know. Hotness.
He's so hot.
He's really
hot. I think that's why that love story is also so great in that movie, because you're like, I believe it. I'd fall in love with you too. I'd let you trash any hotel room.
And there are few people who can pull off a ponytail. Few guys.
Very few. Yeah. Very few.
But I mean, I him in that ponytail, I was like, hey, give it to me now.
Oh, man.
Hands
hot.
Hands That was probably one of my first crushes.
Ooh.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, actually, it is.
Wait, I think I had a thing for ponytails when I was a kid, because my other one was also Tommy. From the Power Rangers, who also had
Oh, Tommy was hot too.
Dang. That's old school.
You had a thing for ponytails.
Yeah, so I feel like about that 90s ponytail. It made the man.
Yeah, I do love their love story in the movie. The only thing I wish that was different, I mean, I wish they would have stuck, like, I wish they would have did, because in real life, Chris and Selena exchanged I love yous while they were eating pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wish they would have put it in that scene instead of later when did he say that he loved her in the movie? Like on a boardwalk or something? I don't know.
They're on that boardwalk pier and then they get in the truck and they're like, oh my God, we got married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I would just wish they would exchange I love yous.
Because they have a pizza scene. Pizza. They have a pizza thing scene where she points out that she eats nothing but Doritos and pizzas by herself.
Yeah, and that's like, why didn't you put I love you in there? Like, why didn't they exchange I love yous? I don't know, but
which when whatever. I was younger and still kind of today, which is also why I ate a pizza like before I got on here to record, is I believe that her glorious booty came from pizza and Doritos.
Probably. Yes.
It
probably
may not be working for me, but in my heart, it will happen. In my heart.
She did have a nice butt. A really nice butt, actually.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
She was perfect.
She was perfect.
I miss her much, guys.
I'm, like, imagining her, like, dancing on stage in her different outfits. and
are you running the montage in your head?
Yeah, I am.
Of her performances.
Yeah, it's going through my head. You have to.
The red bra or the red bustier?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh, that scene was so funny in the movie when she like comes out in her bustier. And he's like, Edward James, well, you know, the dad. He's like, what is that? Just freaks out.
And I love that scene so much because he goes in between Spanish and like, ¿cómo se dice bustier?
And they try to say, he's like, busti la caca. I don't know.
And it could be like, oh, fuck. I'm going to get into it in the but why those, but just a little teaser for like 30 minutes from now, that movie showed what a Mexican-American family is like so freaking well.
Yeah.
Like, granted, we're not all living on tour buses and getting yelled at for going on stage in front of, like, hundreds of people in a brawl, but, like, that type of, like, switching of languages and just everything. It was everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then her life was cut tragically short March 31st, 1995, when she was shot and killed by the devil herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I will let you guys handle this part.
That's us. I should have sent you our...
Oh, no, you're fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. So Yolanda was crazy. Just throw that shit out there right now.
Start at the beginning.
That bitch was crazy. Just kidding. Yeah. She had a history of stealing from her employers. And, I didn't even talk about the fact that Yolanda killed Selena. Should I have addressed that first?
Well, I saw the devil herself.
Well, she said
and
that.
Then you said Yolanda. Well, and I think they can put two. Well, yes. The devil herself. Everybody should know that. Yeah. The devil herself is Yolanda Saldivar. And I feel like you should know that Yolanda killed Selena. I feel like there is no reason for you not to know this, even if you know nothing about Selena.
So basically Yolanda was running her fan club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was collecting money from her stores.
From
her clothing stores, from her fans, and she was pocketing some of it. And Selena's dad and Selena and her sister all went to confront her one day and say, what's going on? Where's my money?
Where's the money? It's disappearing. What's going on, bitch?
Yeah. And she denied it. I didn't do it. I can prove it to you. And just to go to show what kind of person Selena was, she didn't instantly say, like, no, this is fishy, you're done. She was like, okay, I'll let you prove to me. Like, I'm going to believe this story that you're telling me, which, I mean, I wish she hadn't. They should have let her go in that moment right there when we were questioning. So on the morning of March 31st, 1995, Selena decided to meet up with Yolanda at a hotel room in the Days Inn in Corpus Christi. She went there to get financial papers from Yolanda. And Yolanda said, please hold on these papers because I just got raped in Mexico and I need to go to the hospital.
Well, she just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Now she's claiming fake rape.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had told Selena that she was raped, and then I think Selena was like, let me take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they took her, Selena took her to the hospital. And then turns out, surprise, surprise, Yolanda hadn't been raped. And so they go back to the Days Inn and they get into like an altercation, right?
Yeah.
And then Selena, I think, turns around and goes to leave because she ends up shooting her. Yolanda ends up shooting her in the back. And then Selena runs, she runs to the lobby and collapses on the floor. And the one of the workers runs up to Selena and, yells at somebody else to call 911. So they call, they're calling 911. Then Selena tells them that, you know, in her last like moments, she tells them Yolanda did it, and they give her the room number. She gives them the room number. Yeah, she gives them the room number,
which is a badass move.
Yeah,
yeah, like that.
Yeah, so she gives them the room number, and then the, you know, ambulance comes, but she, you know, when Yolanda shot her, she hit an artery. So she just passed away off of that. You know, the blood just kept coming and coming and would not stop. So,
and then didn't she use like hollow points or something? Like one of those like insane rounds?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What she used. That's probably information that we should know, but that's also the kind of podcast we have. Hardly any information. No, I'm just kidding. No, so then after that, to make matters worse, instead of turning herself in and saying, I did it, you know, sorry, maybe sorry, she went and had a 9.5-hour standoff with
police.
Which annoys me the most out of most things in this world. It's like you do something and then you waste 9.5 hours of someone's day threatening to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like, go away. Just go away.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she just – it's like, why? Why did you just – I don't know.
And I don't think she's ever taken, like, responsibility, right? She's never said
– No, she hasn't. I'm pretty sure she hasn't.
No.
No. And all the in her interview with – what's that? Barbara Walters.
Oh, Barbara Walters is getting so old.
I know. I didn't see – or all she says is, like, Selena was my friend. Selena was my best friend. Well, nobody asked you that, you bitch.
No, like, that's all I hear her say. I was like, obviously she wasn't your friend. You fucking shot her.
Like, yeah.
No, she was just... I mean, and I don't know. I mean, don't ever kill anyone. But if you do, own it and apologize for it. And I think you're a real piece of shit when you don't.
She's a cunt.
Especially when your victim names you. As the person who did it.
But it's like, why are you wasting everybody's time? Just own up to it. We all know you did it. Own up to it and, you know, own your shit.
That's my favorite thing to say.
I know.
Own your shit. Mm-hmm. She was obsessed with Selena. There was no reason to shoot her. I honestly don't think, like, Selena would have turned her in for stealing. Yeah, like, I don't think she would have. I think that's who she was. Either. Yeah, I think she loved this woman. She cared about her. She was her friend. And she, you know, she's over here worried that pretty clearly she's stealing from her, and she's taking her to the hospital because she got fake raped. Like, that, she was a good person. So I don't think she would have taken time out of her life to, like, pursue charges. I mean, maybe... Abraham would have.
Yeah, Abraham would have.
Abraham would have, like, sued her as hard as he could and, like, made sure he got every single thing. But I do feel like Selena would have fought for her to not have that. Like, Selena would have seen the good in her even while everybody was telling her not to.
Yeah. Which and I think she would have been like, just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think Yolanda was, like, so obsessed that when Selena was like, okay, you're clearly lying, I'm done with this, I'm leaving. It was almost like she was leaving her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's why she shot her.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Not because whatever BS story she came up with. I don't even remember what it was.
That she was.
I have a hard time paying attention to her because she's so gross.
You know what? I
don't want to sleep in her talk.
I don't know about you guys, but I've seen that actress who plays Yolanda in, like, maybe two other things, and I instantly hate her.
Like, I feel like that movie ruined her career. Like, yeah. I feel like it really screwed her.
Yeah. I think it did too. I don't know what – I think I've seen her – I saw her in another one, but I don't remember what else I saw her in. But I was like, I couldn't get Yolanda, like, you know, that character – I couldn't get that character out of my head. So I was like,
It was like the role of a lifetime for her, and then also just, like, screwed her so royally.
Now everybody just hates her, the actress. going up to her, like random people, like, you killed Selena. Like, she's like, no, I didn't.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I'm not going to lie. Like, 6 or 7 year old me probably would have definitely done that to her.
Yeah. Just
well, even to like 15 year old me probably would have done that to her.
I think she's dead now, isn't she? So we're all talking shit. She's dead.
She died in.
Crap. I think she is dead. Yeah.
No, the actress.
The actress, yeah.
Yolanda's still alive, huh?
Although every year, like, some random person posts a thing that she died when she totally didn't yet.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like, almost every year is like a hoax of that. Yeah. About Yolanda whatever her name is, died. I almost said Salvador, but it's Saldivar.
Who cares?
I can't talk today. Sorry.
But Eva lives a long time, so she'll be fine. Just good.
Well, I think the only reason she lived is because they had to move her into solitary.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill her while she was in jail because she killed Selena. Like, she could not, like, even if you were a criminal, you love Selena.
Yeah. And again, had no remorse for it.
No.
Yeah. None.
I don't think she'll ever own up to it, ever.
No. It's been 22 years.
Yeah. That'll never happen. So yeah, that's our spiel. let me see. Wait, hold on. I'm Laura.
It makes me so sad.
I have how long she was sentenced for. Okay, so she has the possibility of parole coming up in 2025. How many years away is that?
God, 2025.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kate, tell us.
Fuck, Matt.
Can't do fast math.
No, Matt is the math person. I just write the things we say.
Wait, I'm fast with calculators.
I'm saying
that's
gonna
like
guess,
8 years.
Oh, I was going to guess 7 years.
How old is she?
I was thinking 7.
So 8 years. It could be 7 years. I'm not great at math.
No, it's probably 8 because like 7 and 7 is 14. So then it would be one more and then 25. Yeah. So 8.
That was all very confusing for me, Kate.
Oh my gosh. Justine.
Sometimes when I hear things, I'm like, that sounds hard. My brain just goes, nope, 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 nope.
Her brain just short circuits. She does not. She just like stops. She just tunes out and does not pay attention.
So how old is she? Because 8 years isn't that far away. Like, could she get, she won't get out though, right?
No, there is no way. Like, I feel for her own safety, they could not release her on parole.
Yeah, no way.
Like, if
she
was released on parole, like.
Yeah, no. She wouldn't last like a day, which sucks. But you know, I mean, it's still like a human life.
It's a shitty human life.
Yeah. But she would.
Yeah, she'll be 65 in 8 years.
Yeah, she was released there. Man. Fuck. I don't know.
Don't you have to like say you're guilty though? I think you have to be like, I did it. I'm sorry. And she's never going to do it. Like, so. Yeah,
you have to accept guilt. And show, like, remorse and then, like, show promise for, like, development outside of the system, I think is, like, the three things.
Which, yeah.
That just came out of my head, so it could be wrong. Feel free to at me if I am wrong.
Yeah. I feel like it sounded good to me.
Yeah, you sound right. So we are going to co-sign.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that part – sucks the most because I heard you guys do, which by the way, you need to go check out their episode on Selena. It's episode 11, right?
Yes.
It's about damn crime. Pause this, go listen to it, come back. It's a great episode. But like whenever I've like read about her death or listened to podcasts about it or anything, it's just so hard because like one of the reasons she bled out was because she ran to safety. And I'm like, but if she had just laid there, but then it's like, but then would Yolanda had even reported it? Like, would she just either way? Like,
like she might have shot her again.
Yeah. And part of me feels like Yolanda was crazy enough to like keep her body in like storage or something. Like,
yeah,
probably.
Like oh, I never saw her. She wasn't here. Yeah. She has her at her house.
Honestly.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. I think that the same thing would happen. I think that if Selena would have stayed there, Yolanda probably would have shot her again and then probably would have done another 9-hour standoff with police. Yeah, I think it would have been the same outcome. Then she wouldn't own up to it. It would just be the same thing.
She makes me so angry. Like, listeners, I'm like actually really pissed off right now, like just thinking about Yolanda.
Yeah, and like the scene in the movie, which is morbidly one of my favorite scenes, when the White Rose hits the stage and then it transitions to the hospital, you know, the ambulance and then the hospital, and you hear Dreaming of You playing. Maybe that's why it makes you cry.
I think that's why it makes me cry.
Because it reminds you of the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
But people
don't like White Roses because of that movie.
At all. I don't like roses at all. and then it's, you know, her song's playing, and then it's slow motion, her family's crying and hugging each other. It makes me cry every single time, but I just love the whole ending was good.
And then the ring falling to the floor.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That ugly ass egg ring.
Yeah.
Hey, Selena had a thing for eggs.
That's gross. I don't like it. I think it's even more heartbreaking just because, I mean, yes, she was talented. She was a superstar, but she also came from like this really loving, adoring family that just, you could tell how much they loved each other. And to lose a daughter and a sister, you know, it sucks.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just
rambling.
I was like, I suck at interrupting people. I don't know when to shut up. So, I watched this. Billboard did like a 10-minute like mini thing on her at the 20th anniversary of her death, and AB's talking about her, and he's talking about how like no memory is a bad memory. Even if it makes you cry, it's not a bad memory. Like no memory can make you sad. And he was talking about going to the places she had been and listening to her songs. And he said that one of his favorite things is listening to people talk about her because he knows that she's not gone yet. Yeah. And it's like, you're right. Like she was a really strong family. Like honestly, like Selena's story is very much the American dream. Like they had nothing. Mm-hmm. Then they had a restaurant, which has the best name ever. Like Papagayos is like, I don't know why. I think that's awesome. I think it is. And then they didn't. And they invested everything in their daughter. Mm-hmm. And she succeeded. And she was pretty much a mogul before like moguls were a thing.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And that tribute that they did was really interesting to watch because in it, there's a part where they went to go interview the owners of one of Selena's favorite restaurants, and they were talking about how Abraham, her father, was there the morning that she had died, and he received a call and he ran out of the restaurant and nobody knew anything. And then he called and told them, and they made an announcement to the restaurant, and they said like in that moment it just got silent and then everybody started crying. And like, I think that's like, that is how like so many people felt when she died. Like it wasn't something that was small. Everybody felt it pretty much everywhere. And so we've obviously talked about her importance to us, her bio, her death. And I think this is what leads us into the, but why though? Like, why are we still talking about her 22 years later? This April 16th, the Alamo Drafthouse here in Texas did a special screening of the Selena movie. There have been festivals for her. There are still people who go and commemorate her in Corpus Christi, where her monument is. And for a lot of people, like I said earlier, who don't know why she's so important, these are some of the reasons. And the first one is making Latin music. I'm using like apostrophe thingies because that's just a really vague term. Making music cool and making, like, when I say this is like specifically for like the little brown girls out there, it made being Latinx cool. It made being a Mexican American cool. Like, it wasn't, you had somebody to say, hey, she's out there winning Grammys. She's out there. Everybody is singing with her, singing the songs to her. Like, I had like, I went to a Catholic school and there was like all white kids and like just me. And they were singing freaking Beady Beady Bum Bum. And they also didn't know what she was saying, but they were still singing it. And she was cool to them. And so it, for us, it made us feel like we were cool too. And it made us really believe in ourselves that way. And so Tejano, like I said earlier, Tejano was never mainstream until she came along. It hadn't climbed the charts the way it had since her, and it hasn't done it after. And before her death, she was poised to make an English crossover album to debut as an all-around pop star and not just a Latin one. And they did release that album, It's Dreaming of You. It was the first Selena album I owned. And the only reason actually I knew she was dead was because she was on our Dia de los Muertos altars. Like there was always a picture of her. And that was the only reason I knew she was dead, but I didn't like really understand it until I watched the movie. Mm-hmm. And then I understood it. But she was always on our altars.
Dreaming of You was my first, it was my first cassette. If you will. It wasn't my first cassette, but it was my first Selena cassette. Yeah. But then I got Amor Prohibido and I don't know what else. I think I just had those two.
I had the live one. The live.
Oh, did you?
Live. I had live, and then I also had Selena, like just one that was Selena, which I think was like what they released from, like specifically with the songs they used from the movie. I think I had that. Which, by the way, fun fact: they did not let Jennifer Lopez sing at all in the movie. All of those tracks are Selena because. First and foremost, Abraham Quintanilla and the Quintanilla family really guard Selena's identity, and rightfully so. They don't let – like, they have to sign off on anything that is made with her likeness. They have to sign off on any use of her music, and that's kind of come into a lot of controversy right now because I think Telemundo is going to do, like, this series where it's, like, super, like – gory like Selena death stuff, and like it's really weird. It's like based off of this supposed biography about Selena that is like the secrets of Selena or something. I don't know because I don't watch Telemundo, like I'm not that brown. But like it's caused like this big controversy because like she's La Reina for a reason. Like you like, and you know, and this can probably have its faults too. Like she is an icon that like there is really no negativity attached to that. Personally, I've never learned anything negative, so I don't know what I would even attach a negative to that. But part of that is because the Quintanillas have worked really hard at maintaining her image in life is also her image in death and making sure that people can't ruin that idea for her or that idea of her. And I feel like I would do that. Like if somebody I love passed away, like I would make sure that they're treated with the respect and the dignity that they deserve, especially when they've done so much. So
yeah, I remember I told my mom, excuse me, we were going to talk about Selena, and she's like, "Oh, are you guys going to talk about what'd she say? Are you guys going to something about like Selena seeing?" A doctor on the side, like basically cheating on her husband with some doctor.
What?
Because that's something, you know, like there's all these crazy rumors on, you know? And so I don't know. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, mom. And she's like, well, that's just one of the many things that I heard about her. Like she was seeing some doctor on the side or whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I have no idea what, like, I don't know. And she's like, that's just what I heard, blah, blah. And so, I'm sure probably that Secrets of Selena, it's going to be all stuff like that probably.
Oh, yeah. I that makes sense. I had never
just heard nonsense.
That. I have never heard that.
God. Yeah. There's crazy things on the internet.
It's just crazy things. I don't know what you're talking about. So who knows?
I think it would be interesting to hear that she wasn't so perfect. Like, she needs to be uglier. Like, they don't need to drag her through the mud, but I think when you have someone that you look up to and you're like, this person was so amazing, so, so perfect, like, you almost want to live up to that. You know what I mean? If you idolize it that much, and that's not normal. Like, everyone has their faults. So I think it would be interesting to see that side of her. And I think it would probably make people feel closer to her too, right? If you knew more about her in that aspect. Like, no one's perfect.
I feel like she's put it in this like perfect little bubble, and I don't know, it's kind of like fantasy, like she's just perfect and she can't do anything wrong. So like Justine said, it would be interesting to see, you know, her faults or what, you know, if she did something wrong or whatever. It would just make her like more real, like more real as a person, just more relatable.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like, and this is like, so I grew up, like, my family's Catholic. I grew up Catholic, and like our entire Mexican neighborhood was Catholic. And so at like the panaderia, like the bakery and stuff, they would have pictures of the Virgin Mary, but right underneath it, they'd have a picture of Selena, the one from Amor Prohibido, where she has like that like ruffly white shirt with like they always had a picture of her. And I think in many ways, she's kind of like the saintly figure, like where like nobody says anything bad about her. Nobody like mentions anything, like, because I think too, like, I think they were kind of open about the stuff with Chris, but I think that did get pretty bad because she was super young when they got married, when they started seeing each other like that. And I think like that probably got sanitized a little bit. But like, I totally understand like the Quintanilla's doing it, but I kind of agree. Like, it would be nice to see like all sides of her.
Yeah. I mean, even that relationship, she was so young. Like, relationships are hard as hell as it is. Ask the old single lady over here. But especially at that age, she's a superstar. He's got fame too because he's her husband and he's good looking. He's a guitarist. He's a rock star. You know, I'm sure there was all kinds of issues there. Which to young fans could kind of be like a learning lesson. Like, maybe don't settle down that yet. Like, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, I personally don't like it.
I know. I keep forgetting his name. Abraham. I know he didn't want to put the elope scene in the movie.
Yeah.
He was like totally against that because he didn't want, you know, he didn't want young girls thinking that it's okay to, you know, elope, you know, go and elope, you know. He didn't want young girls thinking like that. So he wanted to take it out, but no, they left it in. And I think Chris had a say in that.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's had a pretty big say in her as well. Not as much as her family, because her family actually owns her music and stuff like that. But like Chris wrote a book that came out, and it was To Selena with Love, where he pretty much like documented their relationship and everything. Like, and I think Suzette and AB have been more open with who she is and like on Chris's side and stuff like that. Cause I think in like all of the, like all the interviews with Suzette, her sister, she's always like, I still think of Chris as my brother-in-law, no matter what. No. And so that's really nice. But I do know, like, one of the reasons why the Selena movie is so accurate is because of how much the Quintanillas had in making it. But that also means, like you said, like, they did have a call on some scenes. But I'm really happy that made it in because I thought it was romantic as fuck.
Me too.
I do know, like, one of the main controversies around her when she was alive was that people didn't like that she dressed so sexy. And because she became a sex symbol, and people didn't like it because so many young girls looked up to her, and they didn't want her to be that way, because then like that's what young women would see. And I think specifically for Mexican Americans or like the Latinx community, like the only thing we see are Selma Hayek's and Penelope Cruz's in like and sultry seductress roles. Like, we already have that. So I think a lot of people were like, cover up, please. And Selena was like, nah, I look really good. I'm going to cover up. And then I was like, back at this picture again.
Love it. Like, let me wear my boosty la caca or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you have the body, and she was a fashion designer. Yeah. So, you know, all the stuff that she made, or all the stuff that she wore, she made, so, yep, or designed it. So,
yeah, I think from the very beginning, it was her and her mom making the costumes, yeah, and deciding what it was going to be. It wasn't like she had like some agent in the background saying, you know, like, oh, wear you this. Should do this. To...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She, you know what? Everybody wear whatever the hell you want. Okay. If, as long as I don't have to see your butthole, I'm good.
Just cover the butthole.
Anything you want.
Just cover the butthole. Make sure to cover the butthole, everybody.
As long as you're not spreading the cheeks, it's fine.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
So first and foremost, Tejano music, like I said earlier, is largely dominated by males, and Selena making it big among Mexican Americans was huge. She had a total of 5 number one singles on the Billboard's Hot Latin Tracks chart. She had 1 Billboard 200 number one track, and it was her 5th and final studio LP, Dreaming of You. This was posthumous album. And it was a first for any Latin female act, and it really hasn't been repeated like in mass afterwards. Like I said, this was my first one for her, so I was really, really obsessed. She had 6 posthumous Selena releases that have gone to number one of the top Latin albums chart since her death. The most recent one was in 2012. The only other Latina to land a number one on the Billboard 200 was Jennifer Lopez, who played Selena in the 1997 biopic that we've talked so much about. And you can easily say that without Selena, you don't have J-Lo. Specifically, you don't have her. You do not have Jennifer Lopez going to the heights that she did. You don't have Shakira breaking into the English market as easily as she did. You don't get Latin artists moving so fluidly into the English market without Selena doing it first. It wasn't easy. Like, other than, like, if you think back to it, like, you don't have that many people who actively maintain a Spanish and an English career. You usually have one-offs, like the Macarena, or like that ketchup song, which I don't know if y'all know what song that is.
No.
The head.
Okay. Oh yeah. Now that you sing it. Yeah, I didn't know it was called the ketchup song.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. That, or I'm making shit up, which is a very big possibility.
I like it.
No,
they're
a
real big fans of tomatoes.
I love tomatoes and I love ketchup.
I hate all those things. I get like sauce. But yeah, so we have those things. And then you have the atrocious Despacito. I apologize if anybody likes that song.
I liked that song. How dare you, Kate? And then it was on every 5 minutes. And then it kind of made me want to jab my ears out.
Jab your ears out?
I liked it, and then I heard Justin Bieber in a club making fun of Spanish, and then I didn't like it anymore.
Hey, that was me too. I was like, oh my gosh, he's talking about Doritos. Now I'm just hungry.
Justin Bieber. He needs, I feel like he just needs a hug. He needs his childhood back, is what he really needs.
Yeah, amen to that.
This is true. So, like, Jennifer Lopez actively admits, and she talks about it a lot. I mean, not a lot, but, like, whenever people ask her if Selena had to do with her becoming someone, like, beyond just the role, and she said it had a lot to do with it. All those performances, I sang in musicals before, but as part of a cast, never as a solo artist up front, or a recording artist. It made me realize, don't neglect parts of yourself and let people put you in a box because you're an actress. You can do this and you can also do that. Life is short and you don't know what's going to happen. Go for your dreams and don't let anyone hold you back. And beyond that, she said that what spurred her to release her first album was actually was that role. And she said many, many times that Selena, she feels like Selena was her mentor. Even though she was already dead, she felt like Selena was her mentor, and getting to perform her and be her in that biopic made her understand the type of work ethic that Selena had to succeed. And like, so one of the big things that all this worked and mattered was because she embraced her Tejana identity and she made a career and she was a success, not pretending to be somebody else and not catering to English speaking audiences. She was Mexican American. She was Latina. She was Tejana. She was Chicana. And she was all of those things unapologetically. And when she made the move to English, or when she started the move, because she technically didn't get to finish it, everybody was already in love with her for what she had already done in Spanish, mm-hmm. which is just astounding, because some people can be really racist. And the fact that somebody can have that large of a fan base while only producing Spanish music shows her talent and shows how good it was. She's also known for redefining Latin music altogether, specifically Tejano and Cumbia, by mixing R&B, technopop, and country into a lot of her work. She's inspired a couple of little people like Whitney Houston, the one and only Beyonce, who is a former Texan, or who is a Texan, and as a child saw Selena's success and said she wanted to be her. And guess what? If Selena had lived, she would have been Beyonce. Clothing line, acting, singing, like everything. Debbie Lovato credits her. Lady Gaga says specifically that her costuming choices and her ability to be daring in what she's chosen is influenced directly from Selena's look on stage. Mostly the bustiers. Jennifer Pena and Jenny Rivera, who are two really prominent Tejana singers who would not have happened without Selena. Katy Perry, and I did not know this, but Meghan Trainor, that All About That Bass person, she said that like her number one influence was Selena. And that's why she wanted to succeed.
Really?
Which is really weird.
That's so cute. I love that.
That's so weird. I did not know that.
Like this just shows you like the scope of her influence. Like it wasn't just little, like it was it was for the Little Brown Girls, but so many other women and girls were influenced by what she was doing. Just because she was successful, and she was successful in a number of things. Adrienne
Bailon, she was a woman.
Yeah.
She was a woman. Successful. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she was a woman that had she started doing her fashion diet. She had a fan club.
She was a spokesperson. She was a Coca-Cola spokesperson.
Yeah, she was a spokesperson. I mean, she was doing all these, you know, amazing things. It kind of like just paved the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Obviously talked about J-Lo. Jennifer Lopez also credits Selena with the Spanish explosion. So if you remember that time in like the late 90s, early 2000s with Ricky Martin, Mark Anthony, Shakira, her, like they were all coming up, and she credits specifically Selena and the popularity of her biography and the continuing posthumous albums that were released. Also, if you look at some Kardashian Instagrams and like some people who are trying to accent their butts, the high-waisted tight pants with a bra, Selena wore that on stage for everything before you were making a bunch of money off of it, Kylie Jenner. That's all I have
to say. Yay, mic drop. I drop. Yeah, I feel like all of the like 90s styles are like coming back.
Yeah.
They're like circling back, and so everybody's wearing the high-waisted pants. I'm wearing high-waisted pants right now. You just can't see because I'm sitting down. But
so like we've said the entire show, the other main but why though is that like for representation and being a role model for young women, girls and specifically Latinas, she did what nobody else really did. So if you were born after she was already dead, you really don't feel that impact. But for everybody before that point, you do. And I think it's really important because she showed all the different ways you can be. Like, she wasn't just a singer. She was a businesswoman, the clothing line. But on top of that, she was also a really big philanthropist. And she worked really hard at giving back to her community. She never forgot where she came from. They had an agency that would help book and get artists going. And a lot of that was for Latin artists, specifically trying to break them out and give that hand out after she had already succeeded for people who were trying to succeed too. She also made sure to go and speak at local high schools in Texas. There was one that she went back to a lot here in Austin. I don't remember the name, but she would go back and she would talk about the importance of an education and the importance of remaining in school, because even though her father took her out of school when she was in eighth grade, she did go back and get a diploma and was enrolled in college for business administration. So she stressed for kids and students and teenagers to just make sure that they stayed in school, got their educations, and did something with their lives. Also, I don't know about you guys, but one of the first times I felt represented in a movie was Selena.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
And a lot of that, and I tweet about it like maybe once a month, probably more, but that speech that Abraham or Edward James Olmos gives in the car to AB and Selena is about, we got to prove to the Mexicans how Mexican we are. We got to prove to the Americans how American we are. We have to be way more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans, both at the same time. And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, you have to know about Christina, but you also have to know about Ricky Lake and Jerry Springer. And you have to know about both worlds because, and I think what this spoke to is what we talked about in the beginning. As people who are far removed from Mexico, we have to live in both worlds. And we're not accepted in either one a lot of the times. And it sucks. Like, I tried to get into Hispanic societies and stuff when I was an undergrad. And all of them made me feel really bad because I couldn't speak Spanish with them. Because they would just all break into Spanish. And I'm just like, well, I don't understand. Well, you should understand. You're Mexican. I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah. I always feel bad when I'm like, when somebody comes up to me and starts speaking Spanish and I'm like, oh, no, sorry. No hablo español. Sorry. What? They just like get so like, it looks like they're offended.
They get angry.
It's like they get angry and that you don't know how to speak Spanish. And it's like, I don't know what you want from me, lady. And then I just leave.
So I remember being in high school and I'm Mexican, so I would get invited to all the other Mexican kid parties or whatever, and I never felt like I fit there, right? Like, they would be playing Spanish music and I'd speaking Spanish to each other, and I didn't feel like I didn't know what anyone was saying ever. And then I would go to a party with a bunch of white kids and I'm like, I don't fit here either. Everyone's looking at me like, why are you here? So then what I did is I found a bunch of Hawaiian friends and then another super whitewashed Mexican.
Me?
I just suck at making friends.
We'll be your friend.
Yeah. We can just do this on Friday nights. We'll just sit here and get drunk.
Together.
It's fine.
Yes. Yeah, I have a friend from high school. She's one of my best friends. And I see her, like, when I go to her house, her family speaks Spanish. So when her dad comes up to me and starts speaking Spanish, I'm like, it's like we do this. It's like he forgets every single time I go there that I don't speak Spanish. And so I just have to keep reminding him every time I go. I'm like, sir, I do not know how to speak Spanish. Oh, you don't know how to speak Spanish? I was like, I have to tell you this every single time. You know I don't. It's like, now you're just being mean. Now you're just reminding me that I don't speak Spanish. He just laughs and then walks away.
No, actually, my best friend in high school, she was a first generation. Her parents immigrated here from Mexico, and they spoke only Spanish. And like, her and her younger siblings would translate for them. But like, we spent so much time at each other's houses. Her mom was a phenomenal cook. Like, oh my God. So I always wanted to go over there for dinner. But when I would go over there, it was nothing but Spanish. And it wasn't that like they would they had to speak to me in Spanish because they literally could not speak another language. And so it was trying to navigate, like, how do I use what I know and like point to things and like kind of show you when like I'm alone in the room with my friend's mother because I can't really communicate. I mean, it worked out. And I actually picked up more Spanish going over to her house every week because like I had to pick things up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In my house, because like, think the last but why though is just because Texas. Like, Texas is obsessed with her. In her hometown of Corpus, well, she was born in Lake Jackson, but she grew up in Corpus. Am I right? Is that what it was?
I think, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Corpus Christi claims her, I guess, is the better one. And she has a entire monument built to her that I still haven't visited. But after her death, Baby Bush, George W. Bush, Baby Bush, made April 16th Selena's birthday, Selena Day, and it's still celebrated today. The Alamo Drafthouse, like I said, does annual screenings of the Selena movie to celebrate it. There are a whole bunch of like Selena impersonators who make a really good living impersonating Selena here in Texas. Like, it's kind of insane.
That's like our Elvis.
No, it's actually a pretty lucrative job to be a good Selena.
Wow,
that's tight.
I would watch a Selena impersonator.
Me too. I wish I could become a Selena impersonator.
Oh, I really wish that.
She's so rude. She's always ruining my dreams.
Listen, you've been talking crap about my hair all day today.
No, I have not.
I'm allowed to crush this dream.
You're rude.
The reason Baby Bush went ahead and made it a state holiday or state recognized day was because he said that Selena represented the essence of South Texas culture and that she never forgot where she came from, which is really important. Because guess what, guys? People listening, Mexicans define Texas. We're a huge part of it. And George Bush said so. So, like, you got an old white guy who said it. It wasn't the brown girl on the podcast, so there you go.
<There's some backup. laughs>
Exactly. God, I never thought I'd be using George W. Bush to justify anything. So I don't know about you guys. I don't know if y'all celebrate Day of the Dead, but I know here in Texas, at all the things I've been to, at least in Central Texas, during the Los Muertos Day of the Dead, you see Selena everywhere. And people kind of use it as a stereotype because there are, like, we went to the festival here in Austin and there were guys with lowriders who had pictures, like giant pictures of Selena in front of their cars because they were honoring her. And one, I thought of immediately, anything for Selena's. But secondly, I realized how that can be made to look pretty stereotypical, but she means so much to everybody and Mexican-American culture that it's not really a stereotype, and you can't diminish it just because it's guys with cars doing it. Like, it is still important. Yeah. Like, they could do anybody. I mean, like, they chose to have her out there instead of, like, the traditional Aztec holding a naked woman.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen it. I remember growing up and seeing that everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to.
What? What is that?
I mean, like I said too, like, my family had a picture of her on our altars, and it was important to us, and she was important to us. In 2015, Corpus Christi held Fiesta de la Flor, which is the name is resemble como la flor. And it raised $13 million and it had 52,000 people come in. And 72% of those 52,000 people were from outside of Texas. Wow. And obviously, you guys aren't from Texas. So, like, right. She does reach beyond Texas.
Yes. Yeah. She really does.
And lastly, I probably should have put this, like, up when we talked about her dying instead of, like, at the very bottom. But, you know, notes are hard. Reactions to her death were compared to those following the deaths of musicians John Lennon, Elvis Presley, and U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Major television networks interrupted the regular programming to break the news. Tom Brokaw referred to Selena as the Mexican Madonna, and her death was the front page news of the New York Times for 2 days. Numerous vigils and memorials were held in her honor, and radio stations in Texas played her music nonstop. Her funeral drew more than 60,000 mourners, many of whom traveled from outside the United States because she was an international pop star. The news struck the Hispanic community extremely hard, and many fans traveled thousands of miles to Selena's houses and boutiques and the crime scene to hold vigils and commemorate her life. And if you look on YouTube, it was broadcasted. Her funeral was broadcasted on TV like freaking Princess Diana.
Yeah. But it was amazing to see how many people how many people were there and how many people were death affected.
Yeah. And I think too, because she was such like a she had such a good image. It's not like she was out shooting up heroin. Like, she was a good...
She wasn't shaving her head and attacking people with an umbrella.
No. She was, you know, doing... She was killing the music scene. She was this amazing businesswoman. She was helping people. She was just a good person. And for her to die so young, so tragically, like, I think it hurt people. I think when a young person dies, like, it hurts people more than when an old person does. Sorry, that's rude.
Well, no, I think true. I think it's true. Like, if you like think about like movies and stuff where they show death, or even just like people in general, like a parent shouldn't have to lose their child. Like, none of that. Like, there's no word for a parent losing their child.
Right.
And that sucks. And I think for a lot of people, they felt like Selena was family. I know we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, the family that ran Mario's Bakery on 34th Street. Shout out Mario's. Best cookies ever. They also loved her. Yeah. So I think that those are all but why those I had. Do you guys have any, like, specific things that – fuck. Do y'all have any but why those on why she matters to you guys?
Because we say so.
That's a good
there
one.
There you go.
I mean, why not?
I mean, everything that, you know, we mentioned in this episode, that you mentioned in this episode, actually, is the reason why I love her so much. You know, she's an inspiration to me, to you, and you, and you, and you listening better be an inspiration to you, too.
Selena Bible.
And if not, we're going to give you a Selena Bible.
Or Brittany's going to threaten you.
Or I'll threaten you.
Yeah. That works.
Sorry, Kate. We're abusing your listeners.
Oh, no, that's fine. I make many a threat on ours, so that's a good
thing. Yeah, no, she was just a shit story. I mean, it's not a shit story. She was such an inspiration, and to just die so young, like, it's horrible. But I think everybody can say Selena touched them in some way. Maybe, I mean, of course, not the people who were, like you said earlier, that came after she was already gone. But there's probably something in their life that she touched, and they're just not aware of it.
Yeah.
They don't know. So
I think I want to – I'm going to link it in the show notes. There's this video – you know how they do, like – insert age group here, watches like 90s music or watches like, you know, YouTube videos of things. There's one that they do with adults watch Selena, and it's heartbreaking. Like, there are
I've seen so many people crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that shows why she matters.
Yeah. I watched that. I came across it on Facebook, and I watched it because I really wanted to know, like how are these adults reacting to Selena?
Yeah.
And it's just insane. Like, every one of those people knew about her. And, I started crying. I was like, ugh.
I did too. And Matt was like, why are you crying now? It's like, Selena is dead. He's been dead for 22 years. I know. That's the problem.
Here we go again.
And then you start speaking Spanish. Mi corazón.
Como la flor. So, yeah. I think that's it for this episode. I think we did a good job, guys.
Yeah, we had fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming back. Come on many a time. Yeah. Anytime.
I just invited us.
Yes. Well, you have to invite yourself. Like, just come. Come to me. Be my friends. I need friends.
Yeah. Listen, the next time we have a party, we're just going to, like, pop you up on the – we'll just set you up on the computer. And we'll just get drunk together.
That works.
Yeah.
And then I can just count how many beers it takes till I start singing and talking in Spanish.
Oh my gosh. The three of us are just going to start communicating in Spanish, which will be amazing because I really don't know
anything. No, you know, we should just communicate in Selena lyrics.
Oh no, yeah. I can't do it. I'm so ashamed.
Okay, so I love you very much, Justine. And I love you very much, Brittany. And you make my days very, very bright when I listen to you all. So
thanks for finding us.
I don't know how I found you guys. I just know I found you guys. And I was very happy that I found you guys.
It was meant to be.
It was.
Yes.
Where can people listening to this episode find you guys?
Go ahead, Brittany.
All right. We are on Facebook and Instagram at It's About Damn Crime. Like we say on our show, run it together, space it out. We're there. You'll find us. You can also follow us on Twitter and Snapchat at IADC Podcast. You can go on our website. It'sAboutDamnCrime.com. You can listen to our episodes there. And you can basically find our episodes on any
platform.
You are listening to, whatever. If we're not on the platform, let us know. We'll go on there.
Yeah, tell us.
As always, you can find me at @OhMyMythRandier on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find But Why Though at But Why Though PC on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Facebook.com. Fuck. Did I say cock?
Yeah. I feel like I love it.
You should just leave that in. Oh my god, I would really like you to leave that in. That's hilarious.
That was so good.
Let's try that again.
I'm gonna start dying.
Facebook.com.
I collected myself.
Okay.
Facebook.com/ But Why Though PC, and you can find us at butwhythoughpodcast.com. We are also on everything, and as these lovely ladies have said, if we're not on it, let us know. I will try to get us on there. So to close out the show, what we like to do is we like to ask guests, co-hosts, people who are not me, Matt, or Adrian, who I'm probably going to disown after I finish editing this episode because now it really hurts me deeply that they don't like Selena. We ask them what song they want to play. So I will choose the intro Selena song. You guys choose the outro Selena song.
What you want, girl?
I don't know. I love Tu Solo Tu. That's my song, but...
I'm in.
You don't know what song that is.
That's fine. Listen, put it on. I'll know what song it is. I don't know what any of her songs are called.
I don't know if you've ever heard that song. Do you want to do a different song?
A lot of her songs.
Bye.
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 por tu amor. Mira cómo ando mi bien, muy dada la borrachera y a la perdición. Has llenado